Whether you're a pro athlete, an exhausted parent, or you spend all day in an office chair, CBD MD wants to give you the support that you need to make it throughout the day. CBD Freeze and Recover are an outstanding duo of topical products with specialized formulas to provide targeted relief where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try Freeze, Recover, and every other CBD MD product, you can take 25% off your next order when you use promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBD MD.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, it's not the Viper that most people would have liked to see brought up from the G League, but the Rockets are bringing in some reinforcements. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at Clutch City CR. And joining us today to break down what's been going on with the Rockets and discuss this new wave of, I can't say reinforcements, but reinforcement, I should say, is none other than the podfather himself, Rockets Wire editor Ben DuBose. How's it going, Ben?
Pretty well, Jackson. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I'm excited to see that the Rockets made a move, and they decided to bring Ray Spalding up from the G League Vipers on a two-way deal. And it's so funny that they did that, because not only had we, myself and LaShard Binkley, on a very recent episode kind of highlighted very briefly his play when we were focusing on Kevin Porter Jr. and how he's looked in the G League, but I almost thought about bringing it up immediately after the Heat loss, because why did they lose against the Heat? They couldn't secure defensive rebounds, and there was probably some reasoning behind Steven Silas not playing DeMarcus Cousins in the final moments, because, you know, he is at times a defensive liability out there. But Ray Spalding has looked pretty good in the G League, and it's nice to see them making some proactive moves to show, hey, we don't want to be losing these games that we're losing right now.
Yeah, definitely, especially because it doesn't seem that Christian Wood is going to be back, at least in the immediate future. Steven Silas said after Friday's practice that he was still limping around. There was still some swelling. And the reality is that even though it's a good sign, we saw him on the bench and he wasn't on crutches, he's putting weight on it. Even though it's a good sign by and large compared to seeing him taken off in a wheelchair a week ago, the reality is they're going to be super cautious with Wood, not just because he's young, but because it's a re-injury. So whatever the normal timetable is, I would add a few extra days to it, because the Rockets already let him press the issue once, come back probably a little bit earlier than he should have, and that may have contributed to that ankle getting re-sprained or sprained a second time. So they need reinforcements, because Christian Wood is not coming back all that soon. They've lost four games in a row, so something had to give. You need another big body, especially with, you know, as you illustrated, the end of the Miami game showed that, especially for a team that, while Boogie Cousins is capable of giving them 25 to 30 minutes per night, there are some obvious athletic limitations that make it difficult for them to really switch when he's in the game. You can't drop all the time in the modern NBA, and I think that's where you need another big body. But the roster outside of Cousins, who again has the athletic limitations, you didn't really have an option. So I think Spalding makes a lot of sense. He's averaged like 19 points, 13 rebounds a game with the Vipers. Small sample, but he's looked good. And realistically, this is about the most imminent help that you can get. The reason I think they went that route, you know, you can look at the Dwayne Dedmon types and other hypothetical free agents. But the reality is that any free agent signing, number one, they don't really know your system. And then secondly, there's going to be an introductory period of a few days because they haven't been getting regular COVID testing before they can be clear to join team activities. With Spalding, he's been with the Vipers not just this year, but last year. So he knows the organization. He knows the system. They're running the same stuff down there that they are with the Rockets. So he's very familiar. And secondly, because he's at the G League bubble, he's already in the testing protocol. So as far as I understand it, he should be eligible to play on Saturday against the Knicks, assuming he's able to get from Central Florida to New York, and the Rockets could definitely use another body. So while I don't expect him to suddenly be a starter and play 30 minutes per game, at the same time, look, I mean, Christian Wood isn't coming back soon. You also might be without PJ Tucker. He's questionable with the left thigh contusion. So they clearly needed some sort of reinforcement, and I'm glad to see that Rafael Stone made the move. Now, to clear the roster spot, they're letting Broderick Thomas go, but I have a tough time seeing Broderick Thomas, a rookie guard out of a Division II school, get claimed. And unless he's claimed or signed to another NBA team, then the Rockets should be able to keep him with the Vipers, and basically everything will be exactly as it was. He'll just be on a G League contract while Spalding gets the two-way.
And I think the important thing to note about Spalding and the part that I'm most looking forward to is we've seen this Rockets offense really hit patches where it's completely almost like halted, where it just stagnates, yeah. Kind of everything grinding to a standstill. And I think one of the big parts of that is we're seeing the adverse side effects of not having that vertical lob threat, yeah. a true rim running big, because again, Boogie Cousins, what he does give you and when he does it well is great as a reserve big. And what he can give you in, ideally, if Christian Wood were healthy, he'd only be having to play 15, maybe 20 minutes a night, give you that floor spacing, give you some passing out of the high post. He is a smart defender, but like you said, you know, you can't run drop coverage every possession with Boogie out there, unfortunately, in the modern NBA. But with Spalding, you get a more, you know, I don't want to say dynamic big, because unfortunately he doesn't have the consistent range that Boogie or that Christian Wood does, but he gives you that other element where you can actually, you know, run a steady diet of heavy pick and roll with Spalding mm-hmm. out there, which opens things up in another way and prevents this, you know, stagnation of the offense, which is exactly what we saw in the second half against Miami, specifically that third quarter, where things started kind of falling apart. The ball movement yep. wasn't there. They weren't able to find a way to penetrate and get the Miami defense moving to where then they could generate those good, high quality shots.
Yeah, I agree. That's where you've seen just such an abrupt change. And you know, it's been like whiplash this entire Rocket season. You know, you had the 3-6 start, and of course that was overshadowed by the Harden drama. Then you had the run in which they went 7-1 over 8 games, the number 3 net rating in the entire NBA. And then you went from that to this 0-4 stretch in which, you know, they were never an elite offense, even when they were at their best. That 8-game stretch in which they were 7-1 and had the long winning streak, they were sort of middle of the pack on offense and just a really top-shelf defense. But the last 4 games, they just have not looked themselves at all. And certainly defense, they miss, you know, we talk about the switching versus the drop coverage, and they don't have the athletic big. But offensively as well, they're just so much more predictable. You don't have the variance in the offense based on not having that athletic big, the role man, just to even be a threat. And so I think for a team that doesn't have a true superstar, you know, that was the one thing the Rockets the last few years when they had James Harden. I know we'll talk about him in a little bit. But even when things were tough, you always had that superstar that could just be transcendent. And even when things weren't going your way, you weren't healthy, you know, you could at least have him go supernova for a certain stretch and overcome it. The Rockets right now, they have a lot of pretty good pieces, but they don't have any, you know, true A-level guys. And so when you combine that with an offense that just gets predictable based on personnel, there's only so much that guys like John Wall and Eric Gordon and Victor Oladipo, although Oladipo is out for Saturday's game against New York, but I think the point stands, he's in that same sort of grouping. There's only so much that they can do. So I think hopefully with Spalding, it's not that we're asking him to sit here and be Superman and do amazing things. That's unfair for a guy that's been playing in the G League and has basically just played one season in the NBA, but it's just his presence, the ability of someone else to be on that front line and present some athleticism. It might help unlock the floor for everybody else.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head talking about that superstar angle, because something that I do want to talk about here in just a moment is the fact that we've seen it kind of throughout stretches of the season where Silas has reverted to small ball situationally. We saw it kind of early on, for stretches where before Christian Wood really started to develop defensively, we saw him kind of revert and he would throw out some small ball lineups out there. And suddenly the Rockets went from being, looking like a train wreck on defense to looking stellar because they could just switch everything. But I think that what that comes with is now we're seeing stretches where the offense is bogged down by playing small because it forces, again, that predictability. There isn't that A-level guy out there, like you said, because that's not who John Wall is right now. There are moments selectively where he can kind of not, I don't want to say take over, but, get his, so to speak. And find his driving lanes, find ways to get his points. But I still feel like right now he is best served as a solid second or even possibly third option behind guys like Christian Wood, Victor Oladipo, Eric Gordon, where he is able to better pick and choose his spots and focus on facilitating for the rest of the team rather than having to shoulder the burden of the offense like we saw him try to do against Miami. Unfortunately, him just coming up 5 of 13 from the floor. He did have a pretty solid night shooting from behind the arc, but wasn't really able to get his usual shots at the rim the way that he likes to. Said as much post game that he felt that, he honestly had a pretty bad game all around. But that's also been kind of refreshing to hear the leader of the team take on the blame on his shoulders and be so open about, hey, this is what went wrong, this is what needs to change, and we're capable of doing that. He's been very open talking about the defensive issues and the defensive communication, and that's something that I want to talk about, as well as the small ball lineups coming up in just a quick moment after a message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Look, football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing, and MLB is right around the corner. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's completely free to sign up. So head over to the website and use promo code LOCKEDON to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Ben DuBose of the Rockets Wire USA Today's Rockets media outlet. Now, Ben, I did kind of allude, I want to talk about this small ball situation because I wonder, it's going to kind of springboard us into another topic with Steven Silas, because I see some people who are, already starting to criticize Steven Silas, and I think there's some criticisms that are warranted. I have my biggest issue with him to this point is I've had questions about some of his lineups and some of his decisions throughout some of these games. Now, granted, there's only so much that you can criticize when the man is dealing with a revolving door of players, unfortunately. Right. And so I have yet to get to a point where I want to go all in on him yet. I don't think that's fair to him. So I am reserving certain judgment, but it does kind of feel like, unfortunately, at times that defensive small ball lineup is almost a crutch that he has been reverting to. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. So I want to get your kind of take on that.
Yeah, I think, look, some of the advanced numbers, and I try not to point it out on Twitter because unlike our good buddy Disney, Gary Clark, I'd prefer not to be blocked by Boogie Cousins. But, it's just tough to imagine a successful closing lineup, at least right now, with Boogie on the floor. Now, maybe that changes based on him getting more reps. I hope it does. But I just feel like, especially the past week, that small ball lineup, I just sort of feel like Silas is boxed in. And then, truth be told, with the role players, it's just such a guessing game. And the issue I have with the critics of Silas on Twitter, they want moves so quickly that, number one, I think sometimes they ignore the defensive side of the floor because everybody just wants to adjust based on, well, if Daniel House is cold like he was in the Heat game on Thursday night, then they ignore the other side of the floor and
Where he actually was doing, and I pointed this out, he and it was kind of one of my bright spots from the game. He and Jayshon Tate actually had some stretches where individually they looked really good defensively, specifically on Jimmy Butler. Now, I really think that, you know, they fouled him a little bit too much, sent him to the charity stripe too much. But individually, Butler was only 8 of 18. He was struggling from the floor. And a lot of times he was shut down by those two guys, you know, one on one.
And he's also one of the only true long-rangey athlete types. So especially in the stretch without Christian Wood, that's something that's potentially very important to the Rockets. So I'm understanding of what he's trying to do with the role players. I don't hang too much on, oh, how could you play, I don't know, let's say Daniel House over David Nwaba. Because from game to game, you're never really going to know for starters, unless you get these guys into rhythm, let them play 5 or 6 consecutive minutes. If you're just yanking guys in and out, you know, they miss a couple of shots, and then we say, oh, you know, House doesn't have it tonight. Let's insert Ben McLemore or whoever it may be. Then you're just going to have this revolving door. Then there's not going to be any real confidence established or rhythm. That's just one of those things that's easy to say on Twitter in terms of how you do it in a game. I don't know. I mean, if you look at the season as a whole, the minute totals, yes, you can say that, oh, certain guys shouldn't be playing as much. Maybe someone else should be playing more. I think that level of criticism is fair. What I don't agree with is looking at a given game and saying, oh, this guy just doesn't have it. Throw in someone else, because the evaluation are just way too quickly. With that said, from the macro, I agree with you that, and it's not just a Silas situation. I would say it's the whole organization. I didn't understand how casual they were given the significance of the Wood injury in getting that next athletic big man. And hopefully Spalding can fill that. And perhaps these games this week with the Vipers were a good sort of opportunity to let him tune himself up and play in the system. But to me, it was evident. And I said it, if you go back and read my articles from the day after, or actually the night of, that Wood went down, talking about how they needed to trade for or sign someone, that was my expectation, because I just don't know how you could expect there not to be this dramatic drop-off on both ends. And it feels like, okay, now they've got Spalding, and hopefully he helps fix this to some degree. Again, it's not so much expecting Ray Spalding to be Superman, it's just having another body with that kind of potential helps them unlock more possibilities on both ends of the floor. But it just sort of feels like watching it in slow motion, you could see this coming, Jackson. And it just feels like, you know, they had to wait for these 4 losses to make a move. In a perfect world, I would have liked to have seen some more urgency. That's really the only criticism that I have. Offensively, you know, it's a middle of the pack team, but again, I just have a tough time, given the pieces that they have, being too upset. And what the Rockets said at practice today, I agree with them. You know, they missed 35 threes last night, but they had wide open shots. They have to take those. And early in the year, there was some criticism on Twitter that I think was fair. They were taking too many mid-range shots, that their shot chart was not as efficient as most teams in the modern NBA. Look, last night they took 50 threes. Unfortunately, they just made 15 of them, and many of them were wide open. They just simply need to make more. So I think the ball movement's gotten better. The biggest thing to me, there's just a roster limitation since they lost Christian Wood. And I think for whatever reason, the slow motion taking 4 games to fill it, I think that to me, more than any one coaching decision, is sort of what got them in this tough spot.
I definitely agree with you there, because, and I think, you know, really anybody that watches the Rockets or covers them with any regularity could, you know, discern as much that right when Christian Wood went down, that this team was going to take a step back, unfortunately, because he's a big part of what they do on both sides of the basketball. Now, that was one that I was trumpeting, was, you know, his presence defensively, because he's gotten better at almost an exponential rate when you look at where he was to start the season and how important and integral he had become as kind of a defensive, no, I don't want to call him an anchor quite just yet, but as a, you know, as a rim deterrent, as a guy, as a big who, again, has that ability to switch, can blitz pick and rolls, can do a lot more defensively, whereas you're just very limited with what you do with Boogie Cousins. And then, you know, also conversely, you're limited when you run small ball out there, because you suddenly don't have that rebounding presence, you don't have the size inside, you don't have the weak side shot blocking, unless, you know, David Nwaba is in his bag, which he sometimes is. But as far as, and I think, you know, when we get back to, because it feels almost reminiscent with where we're getting dangerously close to the we got the shots we wanted territory.
Yeah, I know, and, I know. I thought about that.
And, you know, I'm looking at that, and I do genuinely think that one of the biggest issues with missing Christian Wood, and this was kind of reminiscent of, right, the times where the previous iterations of the Rockets when they were missing Chris Paul for stretches.
Sure.
Is Chris Paul and Christian Wood, they give you almost that safety net of consistency because both players are so, it feels weird to talk about Chris Paul and Christian Wood in the same sentence, but I'm running with it. They give you that level of consistency with their inside game, or, you know, for Christian Wood, his inside game, for Chris Paul, his mid-range game, where it's that level of efficiency that you can kind of rely on that play when the shots outside aren't falling. So, you know, when Christian Wood is actually available and the Rockets are getting those, you know, they're generating those quality outside looks, but maybe just everybody's having a bad shooting night, whatever it may be, then they can kind of dump it down to Christian Wood for a couple possessions and get some efficient, high quality, either interior shots, or he can at least get to the free throw line, that kind of thing. And missing that has been the biggest issue for them offensively.
Yeah. And the other issue too, is that it makes it very tough when you're in the middle of a season, and especially when you don't have any practices, because the schedule is so tight right now. It's just game after game, so many 3 and 4 night stretches. It makes it very tough to integrate Victor Oladipo on the fly. And granted, he's not going to play Saturday night in New York, but it seems his foot injury fairly minor. They said he's going to go through some tests, but Silas said he anticipated him traveling, Oladipo that is, with the team. And if a player travels on the road trip, that seems to offer hope that he'll be back maybe Monday or Wednesday in D.C. or Philadelphia. But the point is, without Wood, Oladipo becomes at least your 1B alongside John Wall in terms of your offensive creators. And in many cases, because of the back-to-backs, he's the clear number one, because not only do you not have Christian Wood, you also haven't had John Wall, because you've been trying to stagger Oladipo and Wall on the back-to-back so that you're not incredibly shorthanded in one of those games. And so when you have Oladipo transitioning to a new team, he's coming off, you know, the bad injury to his quad. This is his first full season back. He's trying to get chemistry with a new team. He's trying to build his market because he's certainly aware that he's going to be a free agent this summer. So it's a contract year for him. There's a lot of pressure on Victor Oladipo. And then if you don't have a role threat, you don't have Christian Wood, you're putting him as the clear number one with a new team. That's a tough spot to be in. And on top of all that, I think he's just, above all else, it's frustrating me, he's just in a slump. Some of it, Victor Oladipo has gotten some good looks that have just missed. And, you know, there may be some correlation with the pressure he's putting on himself, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, this is a lot for Steven Silas to deal with. This is not an overwhelmingly talented team to begin with. And then you have the injuries, and you have a fact that one of your top guys, Victor Oladipo, is trying to be integrated on the fly and now is hurt again. And while it's frustrating to lose 4 in a row, at the same time, I don't think when you look at the macro, you can look at this roster and say, wow, 11 and 14 is a massive disappointment or something. No, given what they have, I think this is pretty understandable, especially given the struggles, you know, not just the absence of Wood, but the struggles of Oladipo. And I just don't really see, other than more reps on the court, and then I think practice time is what would really benefit Oladipo. I don't really know. There's not like an X's and O's chess move that I can say, hey, Steven Silas should be doing this to get Victor Oladipo going more. You know, it's just a situation in which there are natural growing pains with a new team. And so, again, I understand the frustration. It's never fun to lose 4 in a row. I just don't really see what Steven Silas can do that would clearly bring better results.
To put it in perspective, the Dallas Mavericks are 12 and 14, and a lot of people had them pegged as like a like consensus, like top four seed, like they were gonna take that next jump and Luka was gonna be, you know, a top tier MVP candidate and all this stuff, and the Mavs have largely disappointed. So that's a team that's actually been pretty disappointing throughout this season. You know, granted, they've had their own, you know, plethora of issues, but the Rockets are definitely not a team that should be looked at as, you know, overwhelming disappointments to at
no,
least
not
to this
at all
point.
And by the way, I mentioned this on Twitter last night because I went on one of my classic anti-tanking rants. They're only 3 games back out of the 5 spot in the West, or 3.5 now, because Portland did hold off Philly in that late game last night. But they're, you know, 3.5 games back of the 5 spot. That's how jam-packed the Western Conference is. So there's a lot to play for. It's still on the table. They had won 7 of 8 before for this downturn. So again, my focus, and I think the Rockets is as well, just find a way to get yourself a couple of wins over the next week, stabilize the situation, make sure you stay within a few games of 500, and then let's see what happens when you get Christian Wood back. Because again, keep in mind, they had won 7 of 8 and were the talk of the NBA before that right ankle re-injury. So to me, I'm still fully on board with just do anything you can to stabilize it, try and maybe go 2-2 over the next 4 games or so, and then hopefully after another week to 10 days, maybe that's when Christian Wood gets closer to a return and you can see if he can pick up where he left off, which is at basically an all-star level. And at that point, there's a lot to be excited about.
I want to circle back to that Victor Oladipo point that you brought up. And I also want to, we're going to talk about James Harden a little bit and his sit down with Rachel Nichols. And we'll get there in just a quick moment after a message from our friends over at Built Bar. Protein bars aren't something I used to look forward to until I was introduced to Built Bar. Look, they've got so many amazing, delicious flavors on their menu. You cannot go wrong with any single one of them. Just down the whole list, peanut butter, banana bread, toffee almond, coconut, apple almond crisp. I mean, you name it, they probably have the flavor. Look, these bars, they're delicious. They're covered in 100% delicious chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. And here's the thing, right? They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing for a keto diet. Every single bar has in between 17 to 20 grams of protein in each one, and you can check them out. Just go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, Ben, I got to put you on the spot here because you know, I think you and I kind of differ on the Victor Oladipo front. And, you know, I'm of the opinion that right now I don't necessarily view him as a future part of this organization. So I want to put you on the spot. If Victor Oladipo's answer would be yes to signing an extension, to committing to the Rockets long term, if you were to have the option to put the contract down in front of him right now and he's with the Rockets for the next 4 years at whatever his dollar value is, you know, a little over $25 million a year, whatever that number was that the Pacers offered him basically, do you do it? Yes or no?
It depends on what the dollar value is. And truth be told, for me, it's a sliding scale. Now, I will say I am more apprehensive just based on the fact that he's been here for, 3 weeks now, and the fact that the slump is continuing and now there's the injury. I would like to see a sustained run of quality play like I believe he's capable of. We've seen it in flashes, certainly the Portland game, the one at New Orleans a couple of weeks ago. So hopefully he gets healthy soon and we see it. I'm not going to lie, I am a little bit more nervous now than I was the last time we talked about it, just because, you know, again, we have not seen it for any sort of extended stretch. With that said, the way I view everything with this Rockets team moving forward is it positive trade value? And I think that's the prism that Raphael Stone has to look at this when you go to the deadline. I don't think you can look at it and say, well, you have to trade Victor Oladipo or you have to keep him. There are certain scenarios where clearly it makes sense if you do trade him. But I do think that keeping him is an option if you think the deal is team friendly. And who knows, now that he's slumping, if he's as comfortable in the locker room as he has seemed to suggest, I am still at least open given the right deal. But for me, you know, it's about asset management. And part of it too is an evaluation. Why do the Rockets think that he's slumping? Is this just a temporary thing, randomness, the new team, or is this some component of damaged goods? Because again, he has not been a sustained star-level player since the quad injury, and until he shows it on a consistent basis, there are questions. So again, it's just a calculated gamble by the Rockets. You're trying to determine what maximizes his value. And there are certainly some situations where you trade him. I understand that. But I just would say, if you think that he would have positive trade value, then yeah, there is a case that you could keep him around and look at him as trade bait a year from now. And some of it would be, of course, comparing what the offers are now compared to what might be there a year from now. And perhaps they get better if he's not an expiring player. You know, there's a kind of a whole complicated web that you can get into. But yeah, I will say to your point, I'm not as steadfast on Oladipo as I was a few weeks ago. the level of his slump has concerned me to some degree. But again, it is fairly small in the grand scheme. It is a new team. I'm still keeping an open mind to the idea of potentially retaining him if the deal is viewed as positive trade value.
And I think, you know, I completely agree with your point on the asset management portion of it. And I've got to imagine that somewhere, you know, Rafael Stone, as soon as the Christian Wood injury happened, not only like was he upset, obviously, because your new star big man is hurt and that's going to hurt your immediate chances. But I think that, you know, one of the adverse side effects of Christian Wood, and you touched on this earlier, was the impact that he has on everybody else. The fact that he unlocks so much for this offense, and I think that adversely impacts Victor Oladipo, because Oladipo, you know, in that very first game in Chicago, you know, looked good, like running that like little bit of two-man game with Christian Wood. I believe that. I want to make sure I'm not missing this, right? Christian Wood was there for that Chicago game, correct? Or am I misremembering this? I'm trying to remember their first game together where they were learning Oladipo, on the fly.
Yeah, Oladipo and Wood were together in Chicago, yes.
That's what I thought. Okay, I was making sure because it was just, and I wanted to make sure didn't get that mixed up. But basically, their first game, which thank you for confirming, was Chicago. I remember things looked a little clunky between the two of them in that first quarter, and then they just picked up that chemistry kind of on the fly. Yep. And we saw it on display, Oladipo kind of finding these little pocket passes to his rolling Christian Wood to the rim, Christian Wood being able to finish or at least draw a foul, you know, with those aggressive, you know, rim running, you know, that rim running talent that he has. And so I think that Oladipo, unfortunately, now with the new injury on top of everything else that he's dealing with or has been dealing with since becoming a Houston Rocket, not having Christian Wood is a big problem, both for just the Rockets and their success level, but also for, I guess, you know, kind of showing off Victor Oladipo a little bit and kind of upping his trade value and saying, hey, take a look at what we've got here. Are you interested or not? Because, you know, I know that Rafael Stone is a guy who's definitely weighing all of his options. And I definitely think that he was probably, you know, at least entertaining the idea of moving Oladipo at the deadline, depending on, you know, if a package were to present itself. And now I am more so in the boat that I don't see a trade deadline deal happening because I think it's going to be harder for Oladipo to rehab his value and become that positive trade asset, like you said, with the absence of Christian Wood. And I'm honestly at this point where I really don't. I mean, if you had to pick a date where you were thinking Christian Wood was going to come back, I'm kind of at this point where I don't expect him to come back before the All-Star break. I mean, is that too far out? Like,
I think that's too far out. I think the week I'm looking at, and I don't know exactly when, I would say the week of the 22nd, which is, you know, about 10 days from now. Now, maybe you add a few extra days to be super cautious. But I think the fact that he's not on crutches at the moment, that he's putting weight on the ankle, even if it's still a little bit tender and, you know, there's still sort of a hitch in his giddy up, so to speak, the fact that they're letting him put weight on it, I don't think he's too far away, barring a setback. If it was something that it was like a month away, I feel pretty confident that he'd still be on crutches and not putting any weight on it. So I think I'm slightly more optimistic, but yeah, you still have, I would guess, a minimum another week or so, and probably more than that.
And I think that's kind of where some of the apprehension has come from. And even, you know, those who are so quick to jump ship and the, you know, the people that you've been fighting with on Twitter about, you know, the anti-tanking arguments and all that. And I think, you know, people are looking at this team without Christian Wood and haven't been, you know, as quick to remember how good they did look with Christian Wood. Now, I do think there is a level of concern there that, hey, why is the drop-off so stark without Christian Wood? And maybe, again, the Ray Spalding signing, having that, you know, that backup big with a slightly different skill set than Boogie Cousins, a bit more athleticism, can kind of maybe alleviate the situation. And then, hey, maybe Ray Spalding finds himself in a position where even when Christian Wood returns, if he does a good job while Wood is out, then maybe he's found a new home with the Houston Rockets and can be a serviceable backup big, depending on what the situation calls for. Maybe one night it's Boogie Cousins' number who they call, and then another night it could be Ray Spalding, depending on what they need against certain matchups. And I think that's been what's been so sorely missing, is that optionality. One of Steven Silas's favorite words is they've been kind of pigeonholed into playing a certain way without Christian Wood. And now they're going to have at least, again, another big with some of that vertical presence, which is going to be much needed and hopefully clean some things up for this team on both sides of the court, both offensively and defensively. But before we get out of here, we got to talk about James Harden and his sit down with Rachel Nichols. Sure. and some of his comments. And Ben, to just kind of paraphrase a little bit, I mean, it really seems like he does regret the departure from Houston, but it seems like he kind of almost doubled down on, you know, when asked, would he do anything different? And he said no. And that part kind of was like rubbing salt in the wound to me. I kind of took that as a bit of a shot, honestly. And I was like, after everything, you couldn't at least just come out and say, you know, just even if you were just, you know, saving face, you know, come out and just be, you know, apologize and whatnot. So give me your takeaway from that. And, you know, we'll dive into a couple of the other comments that he had about the scoring and the usage and all that. So,
yeah, I'm not that surprised by it. I think if there's going to be any sort of real apology, it would have to be like in the off season when there's sort of some time to reflect. In terms of the grind of an NBA season, look, he got what he wanted and he's where he wanted to be all along. He's got games every night, every other night. So I just don't think he's had time. You know, as fans, we sit here and we dissect every rumor, and especially now that the Rockets are losing again, you know, we're sort of just bored and looking, thinking, how did we get to this point, et cetera, et cetera.
Watching G League games for Kevin Porter Jr. highlights.
some hope in the form of Kevin Porter Jr., hopefully Ray Spalding. Like, I just don't think that Harden has given anywhere near that level of thought, and I think it's understandable given that we're right in the middle of a season. So I think anyone wanting some sort of come-to-Jesus moment, I think it's just not really fair to expect that to happen on the fly like this, especially before he goes to Houston. Now, I don't know, maybe because he plays the Rockets in Houston on March 3rd, that's approaching in less than 3 weeks now. Maybe at that point he thinks about it a little bit more, and especially because he's going to be coming back to the city for the first time. But at this point, I'm not too surprised by it. Honestly, I came out of that interview, I did a story on it for RocketsWire, of course, and my peg was a little bit different. You know, I transcribed it. What was most interesting to me was how he credited the front office. These are the exact words from Harden. I'm going to read them off from the transcript. Credit to Houston. They didn't necessarily have to trade me to Brooklyn. They could have traded me anywhere, but those are some stand-up guys over there. It ended up the right way. And, of course, he's talking about ownership, Tillman Fertitta, CEO Tad Brown, who's been there the entire Harden tenure in Houston for 8+ years. New GM Rafael Stone, I know they didn't have much of a relationship, but I think clearly Harden appreciated that he got where he wanted to go all along, and it didn't take really that much longer. I think he thought it would happen during the offseason, but he seemed to be relatively understanding of the process. And we heard, you know, one of the more encouraging things that I heard during the whole Harden process, the night before the deal, there was a report from Tim McMahon of ESPN that Fertitta had kept Harden sort of apprised throughout the negotiations that, hey, you will be dealt, calm down, it's going to be on our timetable, but we will do the deal. And so I think the front office as a whole did a pretty good job of diffusing the situation. And I think the fact, you know, Harden said fairly similar things during his introductory press conference in Brooklyn. He called Houston an unbelievable organization and gave them a lot of credit for handling the situation the right way. And I think having a star, even as ugly as it got with the trade demand and some of the circus with the videos, the seated dinners, everything that could have turned this, you know, really, really bad, somehow the relationship between James Harden and the Houston Rockets organization is still pretty good. Now, I'm not saying that from the perspective of, oh, I hope in 18 months the Rockets can lure him back in free agency and then he can pull, you know, LeBron and Cleveland from a few years ago and come home, so to speak. While you can never say never, that's not at all what I'm thinking. However, I do think that the Rockets have a reputation, we've heard this from a lot of places, as being a player-friendly organization. And so even a dispute that was as heated as this, for the front office to handle it well, where they're still on good terms, and ultimately it worked out for both sides. The Rockets got fair value, really a historic haul of draft picks, as Woj called it, and Harden got to where he wanted to go. I think that bodes pretty well for down the road, the Rockets being seen as an attractive organization. And that's where I go back and forth all the time with people on Twitter. You do not have to necessarily get really bad. Now, you might have to, it depends, but there is a path, we've talked about this in the past, where if Christian Wood is everything we think he can be, and the next disgruntled star comes on the market, I know we talked about Devin Booker the last time we did this podcast, thinking about what might be the dynamic a year or so from now, then all of a sudden, Christian Wood in place as the Robin to your Batman this can be a pretty intriguing spot, especially if the front office, the GM, the CEO, the owner, the various people involved are looked at fairly favorably by players in the league. You do not necessarily have to go down this awful spiral of tanking and hoping that you get a LeBron James level player in the draft to be your next cornerstone. Even if it's unlikely, there is that other path. And so to me, that's what the big words from Harden, that's what I take out as the most significant, is the fact that he's saying positive things about the Rockets on the record, and that at least gives you a chance if you're Rafael Stone. And again, I think it's especially important because the Rockets lost Daryl Morey, they lost Mike D'Antoni, they lost a lot of big names sort of pedigree. So with a new GM in place, it does help to publicly have Harden sort of vouch for them and give them a certain extra level of credibility, their credentials, again, as a player-friendly organization. People might have wondered, is that changing given all the turmoil the last few months? To me, it just sort of, it keeps the window open to the Rockets being a desirable destination franchise, which are they right this second? I don't know about that. But I think the hope, at least, is that maybe the 2021 offseason, we'll see who comes on the market next offseason, or next regular season, I should say, between that and then all the future draft capital, the future draft assets that Rafael Stone has to potentially make a deal work and to incentivize other teams to trade with them, then I think those are the sort of words from Harden that I think can resonate and sort of make other stars around the league, you know, raise their eyebrow a little bit and say, hey, the situation in Houston, maybe this is a place that I could see myself. There's a reason why James Harden, for the most part, is pretty happy there. And even though he wanted out because he couldn't win a ring, still he and the organization are on pretty good terms. They treated him right. And so that's how I'm choosing to look at it. I think the fact that Harden's going out of his way to say some kind words about the organization, I do think that could have hopefully some benefits in the months and years ahead.
And to re-up on a point in there, to bring in Devin Booker as the Robin to Christian Wood's Batman, excuse
Ooh,
you, Ben.
Okay.
We're not putting a ceiling on Christian Wood's development.
I like it.
No.
I can respect that.
No, but I think to your point also, because I know that you've been advocating down this path as well, and you know, myself, I've been doing the same, and this was one of my concerns immediately after the James Harden deal, was Christian Wood came here to win. He came here to compete.
Sure.
And I think that in the same light of, you know, the organization taking care of James Harden's, you know, desire to be traded and getting him to the right spot and everything, the way that they handled that situation, it would be a bad omen to not handle this, you know, the situation right with Christian Wood, in the sense that if you do start actively tanking with Christian Wood, what incentive does he have to re-sign in 3 years?
Yeah.
Why would he want to be here and not bolt for, you know, an LA or a Miami or a New York in 3 years from now?
Yeah. And one quick point on the tanking angle that I think a lot of people on Twitter get confused. Trading Victor Oladipo and PJ Tucker, if you do that, veterans on expiring contracts, that is not tanking. When I say I'm anti-tanking, I'm not saying you just hold on to Oladipo and Tucker and then you trade some draft picks to bring in reinforcements and try and maximize every last win out of the 2021 Rockets. That is not what I'm saying. Generally, with the small exception of teams like the Lakers and the Clippers and I suppose the Jazz now, nearly every team with expiring veterans like Oladipo and Tucker is going to explore potential trades if they're worried about losing those guys for no compensation in free agency. That is not a tanking practice. That is standard practice in the NBA for really 90% of teams. So when I say I'm anti-tanking, no, I'm not saying that you hold on to all your veterans and you don't sell off. No, all I'm saying is that you don't actively try to lose. You don't try and feign long-term injuries to Christian Wood, John Wall. You give him a shot because that's why he signed in Houston. He wants a chance to compete. And maybe in some circumstances, you'd have a player that's open-minded to, you know, hey, if I sit out, then I can have a better shot next year, bring in another superstar alongside me. I don't think you're going to be able to sell Christian Wood on that in a year in which, you know, Oklahoma City has the pick swap, right? Unless you get in the top four, which is almost certainly a below 50-50 proposition. So that's where you do have to factor in Christian Wood's desires. He wants to compete. And in terms of what his ceiling is and whether he can be sort of a lure to other stars to help you rebuild, I don't know. Everything that we're saying is speculative, but there is value in finding out. And to me, that's one of the benefits of this season, especially when, you know, your upside in terms of tanking is limited anyway, given the pick swap, right? To me, there's greater upside. And hey, let's see what can happen. Hopefully when, knock on wood, Christian Wood gets healthy. Let's see if he continues to grow. I think one of the clear things we've seen, besides the traditional numbers, he'd gotten so much better defensively in recent games. Steven Silas said it after he got hurt. We've seen it, obviously, in the downturn, the product on the floor since he left. Let's see if Christian Wood continues to improve. Let's see, closer to the trade deadline, how other teams and players potentially view the Rockets. You know, we can see what happens in the offseason. Let's just see what happens, because to me, the uncertainty of letting a Christian Wood-led squad go, basically giving Christian Wood the keys to the car and seeing what happens, to me, that is, there's more upside to that path than there is to all-out tanking, given the fact that you probably are not going to have your pick this year. So that's just sort of the one point that I wanted to make on that. There's some fans that think that when I say, you know, anti-tanking, that I mean, you know, squeeze every last drop out of this group, hold on to your veterans. No, that's not anti-tanking. When I say I'm anti-tanking, what I mean is give Christian Wood and John Wall a chance to do what they can do. And you know what? If as the season progresses, we see Kevin Porter Jr. in place of Victor Oladipo, that's totally fine. That's not tanking. That's giving yourself, you know, that's sort of blending today with the future. That's not tanking. So I think some people take that term way too literally. Just want to clarify that.
Yeah, no, and I think one name that, you know, to also bring up in that mix, right, you're not only giving Christian Wood and John Wall a chance to compete, right, you're giving Steven Silas a chance to
that
compete.
Too.
You know, he needs time and reps as an actual NBA head coach.
Trying now
that
to
he's
win.
Got, yeah, he, and so, you know, if you go down this really, you know, downward spiral of legitimately tanking, you know, there's a difference between competitive rebuilding and, you know, because whatever's going on with the Rockets right now, they are rebuilding. That part is non-negotiable. They are in the midst of a rebuild. You know, anytime you move on from a franchise, you know, cornerstone like James Harden, a generational talent, you are certified rebuilding. Now the question is, what type of a rebuild is this team going to be undergoing? And that part is very much still, we're kind of in this holding pattern where we're waiting to see. We're going to see in the coming, you know, days and weeks what moves Rafael Stone makes at the deadline, what direction he takes this organization. But I, and it sounds like you are on the same boat, where it looks like they want to remain competitive. They want to try and remain an attractive destination to potentially be in that spot to pounce with their plethora of draft picks and, you know, potentially, you know, if you need to move around some of the veteran contracts on hand right now to make money work, whatever it may be, to pounce on that next available star and get back to contention without truly having to bottom out.
Yeah, it's especially because the option of bottoming out is still clearly there, even more so, much more efficient in 2022 and 2023 when you control your own picks. One analogy that I really don't like for the current Rockets situation is mediocrity treadmill. I've seen a few throw that out. This is not a treadmill. The tanking route is always there a year from now. And in my opinion, it's much better a year from now if things don't work out, because then you'll have full control of your draft picks in 2022 and 2023. And then you, of course, have a lot of picks from Brooklyn coming in that range as well. If you need to trade up, you should have capital. And, of course, not just the Brooklyn picks, but those ones from Detroit, from Washington, that are coming up in the years ahead, perhaps Portland as well.
The
we'll
Milwaukee
see if,
one from
yeah,
as well
we'll
as
have
that
see
deal.
If the Portland pick conveys this year, think if they make the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. So the point is, even if they don't get lucky and get, you know, number one overall, they might be able to move up based on all that capital that they have in the middle to latter part of this those same first rounds. But anyway, the point is, this is not a treadmill. They can try to win this year, give it a shot to see what Christian Wood can lead the Rockets to. And then if it doesn't work, if it fails and, you know, they're just sort of hovering around 500 and they can't attract another star and these pie in the sky scenarios we're throwing out of Devin Booker don't work out, then you know what? You can easily tank a year from now when you have full control of your pick. And by the way, the 2022 draft, that's the double draft, I believe, in terms of the rules changing with high schoolers. So that should be absolutely loaded. Look, this is not a treadmill. You can easily tank a year or two from now if you feel you need to and still very easily get a top draft pick. So again, this is not a long term. When we're talking about giving Christian Wood a chance, we're not saying give up on the idea of getting a high draft pick. No, it's just sort of, let's see what happens through 2021. Quite frankly, you're already over a third of the way into the season. You're hovering around 500, so it's tough to be at the true top of the draft anyway at this point, at least in terms of the probability. Let's see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, if Christian Wood doesn't check all the boxes in terms of continuing to evolve as a star, being allured to other stars around the league, disgruntled guys that come on the market, if maybe that doesn't work out, there's no guarantees. But if it doesn't, you know what? We can still do the tanking thing a year from now very easily.
People have Cade Cunningham FOMO, apparently. They really want Cade. Fade for Cade. And honestly, with the way that the Wizards and Pistons are playing and then the Timberwolves, like, I mean, it's going to be hard to try and get into that bottom three in the league because those teams are playing some really, really abysmal basketball. I'm sorry.
Right.
But got to end on that note. But Ben, as always, appreciate you taking the time to be here with us. Go ahead and you know the drill.
Yep, Ben Dubose on Twitter, the RocketsWire on Twitter, and RocketsWire.USAtoday.com for your daily Rockets coverage.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Ben.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
All right, for today's episode, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.